Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media, and we have an exciting show today. Anyway, we are going to kick off a show today, and I do believe that Chanel from CGSF, do we have you on the line?
Yes, you do.
Excellent. I get a lot of trepidation to make sure that like everyone's actually on the line and so on. Do you know how many numbers it takes to get somebody on the line here at the studio?
Oh, a lot, I bet.
It's
quite
like
a bit.
Like, that's like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's like nearly 20 numbers and codes and pins
wow.
and so
that's
on.
That's just like the old days in the government when you needed to do a paging call.
Your dial out takes 20 minutes and easier to send a carrier a pigeon, I think. Oh my gosh. Anyway. In the studio with me today is a long-time Velvet Studio co-host and very frequent guest, Mike Tattersall. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Yeah,
and,
loving it.
An old friend of mine, Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. This is a bit weird, but I like it.
Is it your first time in radio? We're popping your FM cherry?
Yep, my FM cherry.
Well, you have a good radio voice. You're good. You're good to go.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Now, thank you so much for everybody joining me today. I am very much a gay man. In case people didn't know who are listening to this show, actually, somebody thought our show was a recording studio for, like, BDSM backing tracks.
Nice.
Because
I like it. No
Velvet
wonder I like
Studio.
You.
It's very suggestive, so we might have to rethink our logo maybe.
Oh, no,
but,
not at all. It's up to them to learn.
Anyway, I bring it up because, of course, our long-time listeners are well aware that myself and Sebastian are very much gay men and open about that fact. But one of the things that kind of comes and goes, and one of the things I certainly am in no position to talk about, is bi erasure, which, for folks listening, it's the assumption that when you see somebody that, heteronormativity is assuming everyone is straight, but is when you meet someone assuming that they are either gay or straight, and that there is no middle ground, there is no if and no buts, you are either a homosexual or a heterosexual. Like, there is no middle ground there. Now, when we posted about possibly discussing this topic, we had some phenomenal responses of people who, you know, coming out of the wood, people I never knew were bi, essentially coming to tell me, you know what, people always assume I'm gay or assume I'm straight. Which probably includes me. I probably have bi-erased folks before, and I deeply apologize for that. What does it mean to experience bi-erasure? So as we'll kind of go clockwise, starting with the telephone, Chanel, you know, what does it mean to you when somebody assumes that you are not bi or pan?
Well, I mean, it's a tricky thing, you know. I've been in a homosexual relationship and heterosexual relationships, and it happens on both sides of the spectrum. I dated a girl, and I was all of a sudden the lesbian couple, or like the lesbian, and then I dated a guy, and it's like, oh, you're straight now. And I even do it to myself sometimes. Like, a lot of, if I'm in a heterosexual relationship with a man, oftentimes I don't mention that I'm bisexual because it just complicates things. And as soon as they hear I'm bisexual, It just changes, you know? So not only do people just assume the erasure, but sometimes it's self-created as well.
Have any of you, my teeth back in. Have either of you had that experience where perhaps you minimize your own bisexuality to kind of get by?
It's definitely something that I do. It's like, for the most part, I'm in a heterosexual relationship. I'm married to a man. And like one of the visual cues that I give off to people, I have long fingernails, and it's like, unless I'm like at the moment seeing a woman or something, like my fingernails are long. Like, I love having long nails, and to that signals to a lot of queer people that like I am not queer, because if I were engaging in sex with a woman, then I would have like short nails, because everyone knows long nails isn't fun for that sort of stuff.
I was wondering where this conversation was going. I'm like, I don't get how nails are a cue.
It is
all women in the conversation know right away.
Yeah.
But for a lot of us guys, we would see a woman with long nails, and she could be lipstick.
Yeah.
Yep. And for the benefit of our listeners, how would you define lipstick?
A very feminine lesbian.
Absolutely. Actually, we may have somebody that fits that stereotypical bill joining us at some point, but we'll see about that. But yeah, sorry, but the fingerless, I'm like, I don't know how is that relevant?
Yeah,
but
no, it's totally not get a cue that like a lot of guys pick up on, but it's definitely something that girls in queer spaces pick up on.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Now, you mentioned actually to me that when you were going to your wedding, you actually grew your hair out. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, for the longest time, I've always had short hair. Like, I had short hair all through high school and university. And again, one of the things that I guess is like a signal to other people is that queer girls have short hair. And so as I started growing out my hair and I now have hair that's past my shoulders, I found that my queer identity has gotten lost to a lot of people because I have long hair. Therefore, I fit into the heteronormative box that is my life. And so I don't know, I got an undercut and I guess I got some of that queer identity back but I still feel like it's lost on a lot of people. I don't know.
I think the visual cues certainly help in terms of being able to identify folks. What about yourself, Chanel? Have you found that different elements of your appearance decides whether or impacts whether or not people think that you are queer or straight?
Yeah, I definitely like to change my look up a lot. I like to go out feminine sometimes, long hair and dresses, and then the same night you'll see me in like a 4XL men's t-shirt, baseball cap and like high top sneakers. Like I swing a lot like between both ends of the spectrum, and so yeah, a lot of that does. A lot of people assume, based on appearances, like we're human beings, we're always going to automatically assume, no matter how much you teach us not to judge a book by its cover, it'll always be there. And so, of course, it's always a surprise. Like, I've been out with my girlfriend before and looking very feminine, and people say, oh, you don't look like a lesbian. And it's like, first of all, nobody looks like a lesbian, and second of all, I'm not, I'm bi. But explaining that people just want to pigeonhole you in one simple box. It's the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. Especially if you live in a city, there's so many people going on. You just want to be able to label someone quick. And being bisexual isn't as easy to do. It's not easy just to like stuff someone in one box and label someone when they have all these different things going on, when they could be attracted to men or women. It's complicated, and I feel like that's a bit of the issue.
Well, there used to be for public recognition. There used to be the color code back in the 70s.
Yeah, the old hanky code.
Well, not only that, but
penny loafers.
If you were bi and a guy, you would wear turquoise.
That was a thing.
Yes, it was.
Honestly, I don't.
Did that work for girls too? Because I swear half my wardrobe was turquoise.
It might have, but yeah, if you wore turquoise, you were automatically labeled as bi, but actually gay. Because those are the two. I guess, pigeonholes.
I think that brings up an interesting conversation and I don't want to jump too much into queer spaces, but we're kind of organically going that way. The idea that, within the queer community, there's almost, there's a dreadful assumption and stereotype, but there's the assumption that you're bi on the way to becoming a fully-fledged homosexual.
Out.
Yeah,
exactly,
on your probationary period on the gay license, so, you can still be
you're
bi.
Gay, but you don't want to accept it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there any truth to that? I know that for some folks, in terms of the coming out process, that's a nice halfway step, but it's. I think that is becoming more and more rare, and what this stereotype does is invalidates by folks. What mm-hmm. are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I remember I came out quite young. I was very lucky. I went to a performing arts school, so pretty much everyone was gay or bi or whatever. It was a safe space to do it. So I came out when I was 14. I told my friends, and one of the first things my friend told me was, oh, bisexuals don't exist. My mom believes that bisexuals just don't exist. You're either gay or you're straight. That's what she told me, and I was like, what? And so it does invalidate when you are vulnerable in front of people and you say, I am bisexual, and they automatically think, oh, okay, she's gay. Like, oh, okay, like, this is just a mini step to what you're going to further reveal later on in your life. A lot of people are uncomfortable with bisexuality, I think.
What about for yourself, Michael? Because I know that you, for a long time, were married to a woman.
Yes.
Do people invalidate that time of your life? Going, oh, poor Michael, we're so confused, but now he's come through the haze.
Not really, because it was so common for a lot of gay men to get married. You can fall in love with a woman if you're gay. It's true. I identify almost completely as gay because it's easier for me. I'm attracted to people of all shapes, sizes, colors, genders, gender identities, you name it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just easier for me to say, yeah, I'm gay. So what? I like sex. Let's go. But in terms of the pigeonholing, it's easier for most of society to run on a binary thing where there's only ever two options because it's just easier for them. They don't have to think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we see that all over the place, from politics through society, whatever.
What impact does that have when you're in public spaces with, in your case, like an opposite sex partner, you know, and people just assume that you're this, you know, cliche, not to call you a cliche, but you're stereotypical, this, like, cliche, what's the word, opposite sex partners. Oh my gosh, my tongue is, it's a bit of a tongue twister, this show. But, you know, what impact does that have when people assume that identity of you?
Well, I kind of feel like it erases this whole side of me, and, like, a lot of, like, I've never done the whole coming out thing. It was never for me. There was never a point, because I don't know. Anyways, but like, it kind of erases this whole side, because it's like, I am queer. I do, like, I go to Pride every year. I, like, you know, I have queer sex on a regular basis. It's not like I am just this very, like, I stay at home and cook and I'm, and like, clean and stuff. It's like, mm-hmm, I do all of these other things too.
you raised a really interesting question, and I thought that I'm gonna jump there a little bit. We'll have to get back to it later, but we were talking about people who are polyamorous, and it was interesting where what I drew from that conversation earlier, and we will rediscuss it, is that your sexuality is defined by not only who you're having sex with, but who you have the possibility of having sex with.
Yeah.
So if you are in a monogamous, same opposite sex relationship, then there's no way you could be bisexual or gay. Like, clearly that won't happen. You know, you have to be a practicing homosexual to maintain the privilege. Which I think is ridiculous. Have you had much experience with that, Chanel?
Well, it's going to be my last question, because I got to run to class soon.
No worries.
It's just always been frustrating, if because a lot of lesbians won't date bisexual women, in my experience, because they're afraid that I'm going to go cheat on them with a man, or they're going to lose me to a man. And same thing sometimes with men. If I'm in a heterosexual relationship, if the issue of bisexuality comes up, there's two questions. The first one is, can we have a threesome? And the second one is, oh my God, is she a lesbian? Is she going to run off with me with some other chick? It's always been frustrating, so that's why I don't even bring it up, honest to God. If I'm in a homosexual relationship or heterosexual relationship, that's unfortunately just what I become, and it's hopefully we can change that. But Luke, Sebastian, it has been a pleasure being on the Velvet Studio, but unfortunately, I got to run to class. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back just after this. It's Buffy Saint-Marie with Power in the Blood, and thank you, Chanel, for joining us.
Thank you so much. Power in the blood. Power in the blood. Power in the blood.
No time for spin doctors, medicine, corporation, government, selling me some cover-up, weaponizing pesticides, poison in my groceries, nothing but another drug, a license they can buy and sell.
No, I don't mind dying. I don't mind dying. But when I
saying no, 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 no. Compliments from television anchormen, desperate for incident. Real estate assassins exploiting our predicament. High everything depends upon it being in their interest. No, I don't mind dying. Well, I don't mind dying. I don't mind dying. But when that comet comes, I will say no, no, no to war. No. There is power. In the song, and when that comet comes, I will say no, no, no to war. Power in the blood, justice in the song, and when that comet comes, I will say no, no, no to war. There's military interest, there are GMOs in paradise, bioweapons high up on the call sheet. Young soldiers driving tanks, but old thieves, they drive the banks. And you never see a uniform on Wall Street. There's power in the blood. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. So I don't mind dying. There is power in the blood, justice in the soul. And when that time comes, I will say no, no, no to war. Power in the blood, justice in the soul. And when that time comes, I will say no, no, no to war. There is power in the blood, justice in the soul. And when that time comes, I will say no, no, no to war. Power in the blood, justice in the soul. And when that color comes, I will say no, 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 no.
Hello and welcome back, and we want to thank Chanel from CGSF, which is Simon Fraser University, is where that's based. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of this fantastic conversation. So going back to our conversation, we are talking about bioerasure, and which is kind of assuming that folks who are biopan, and I forgot that to kind of clarify for the audience the difference between bi and pan. So bi is really, I mean, it's the most commonly understood, and they're like, oh, you like, you know, guys and girls. But pan is a bit more nuanced, you know, it's for folks who realize that there isn't really a distinct male and female gender. So, you know, they're cool with trans folks, with gender non-conforming folks, androgynous folks, you know, and that kind of stuff. I find androgynous folks unbelievably attractive. I don't know what it is, but there is something about, you know, and also lesbians that look like Justin Bieber. I'm like, I don't know how it's a challenge. It is a challenge for me to be like.
I love leather dykes. I really do.
Oh, they are so funny.
Oh, not just funny. They're hot.
I was at an event last night with a woman who's openly lesbian, and we were talking about fighting stereotypes, and I said, well, you know, I just told you how to make a quiche, and you're wearing a plaid jacket, so we're on our way to fight those stereotypes. And I even told her what exact colors were in the plaid jacket, because, you know, one ought as a homosexual to know your color wheel. But going back to fighting stereotypes, this is something that myself and Sebastian, who unfortunately isn't able to make it today, continues to do. And we hope that folks listening realize that even us in the community, this is a continuing learning curve. And I had a pretty sharp turn in my learning curve when I was dating a gentleman who was bisexual. And it was really interesting because I went in and treated this individual just like I would any other gay person that I'd been with. And I was young and naive and full of full of whimsy and so on.
Knew everything.
And I was knew everything, but I knew nothing, and it was just, it was dreadful. If you want to support my learning and wisdom, donate at 613-520-3920. But no, it was you know, I was full of naivete and so on, and I treated him much like every other relationship, and I was obsessive. You probably should not be obsessive in relationships.
No.
And this gentleman had only been in relationships with women and kind of had gone into the assumption that being in a relationship with man, I would be much more like bro dude like. So it was just not happy days. It was not happy days. I went in assuming he would be more interpersonal, maybe kind of like effeminate qualities of like a gay man, and he went in assuming I would be just like this bro dude, like, hey bud, and it just did not go well. But I think the point was is that it also unearthed a lot of suspicions. You know, he would be texting his ex because they got on well, and I'd be like, oh, is he worried about, does he want to go back to, am I just like that one time in band camp? Am I his experiment? Like, how do I navigate that? Am I just like his rebellious stage to go back to his girlfriend? And it's very, you know, all of these thoughts go through your head. And likewise, I mean, as bi folks, do you see that on the other side? That people, when you tell them that you're bi, or you kind of embrace that, you see, kind of, do you see them kind of going through these conversations, or is it just me and my craziness?
Oh no, it's pretty common, because 99% of us go into relationships without expressing clearly our desires for the relationship and our hopes for the relationship. We all wing it when we all know intrinsically that that's the wrong way to do it.
Communication
right from the start. Yeah.
Communication, 100%.
Yeah, it's all, seriously, if I'm getting to know somebody, right now I'm in the stage of my life where I'm not looking for a boyfriend, and if it happens, it happens, but I'm not looking, and it's probably not going to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. And I tell them that up front, and a lot of them go, oh, well then, all right, see you later. So what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be something I'm not.
But I think that takes a lot of trust. And
yeah.
I think that is we were talking recently about possibly changing the slogan for our radio show, and I think that we might change it to communication, because all of our shows really boil down to communication.
Yes.
You know, and it's all about having that conversation and understanding each other better and kind of learning more about folks and paying respect and homage to that. I also just really like the word homage.
It's got homo
and it's in never
it.
Just one conversation. It's ongoing.
Yes.
And like checking in, because like I've never really been monogamous, and like all of my partners have known this, and like so I'm married to a man, but like we're also kind of seeing a couple, and like, but if someone else was to come along, like I might be seeing another girl too, like so. But like I would always make sure that all of my partners are aware and comfortable, because the last thing I want to do is have someone feeling upset. And like,
yeah.
Then yes. It just builds and builds, right?
Resentment is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
It ruins relationships.
Is there maybe a larger onus on communication for folks in bi relationships? Because there's so much unknown and so many stereotypes and, you know, prejudices.
I don't know if the onus is more strong. It's just, it's a different reality. It's nothing is assumed when you admit to yourself and others that it could be a little bit more open and different from a heterosexual relationship that's completely monogamous, or at least looks monogamous.
Yeah. I think we've spoken primarily of being in opposite sex relationships whilst being bi, but have you had much experience of being in same sex relationships and being bi, and what is the difference between the two that you found?
I don't, like, I've never really like dated a girl. I've had sexual like partnerships, but not like we are girlfriend. I wanted to say boyfriend, girlfriend, but that doesn't work because we're both girls.
You haven't been going steady.
Haven't been going steady with the girl, but like, so I can't really speak to that part of it, I guess. No?
I just put it down to, wow, this is kinky. Because kink is sex done in a way that is not usual for you, whatever usual is. So for me, my usual is having sex with guys. So when I have sex with a woman, that's really kinky. It's like a whole different set of brainwaves. It's wonderful.
Very different. New experience. But it all boils down to communication, communication, communication.
Yes.
I'm going to have a conversation with Sebastian just and tell him that we've decided to change our new slogan.
Oh, my God. It's the three C's.
Perfect. Like,
yeah. CCC.
CCC.
I don't get it.
Russian. Soviet Union. Yeah.
Okay.
3CP. Yeah.
Clearly on my own with that one.
You're just so young.
I know. I did mention my naivete earlier. What is the... Do you have any stories or can you tell folks about the difference and the impact? I think what we're looking at, I want to get across to the listeners what it feels like to be kind of invalidated. And we've talked about, like, general people assume this, that, and the other. But what about in a bit of a more personal level, you know, with friends and family? And for yourself, Michael, you know, you were married.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
Oh, that messed up my family completely.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
What was that like? Because that must have been quite a switch.
I found out way after the fact that me being married kind of... blew everybody in the family's mind because they all thought I was gay, and I was like, you know, here I was deeply closeted. And it was a different level of acceptance when I did get married to a woman. You suddenly are part of the old boys network, for lack of a better term. People relate to you differently because suddenly you're just like them. You're no longer other.
Did it change your relationship with close friends and with family when that...
No, I don't think so. Not on the surface, anyway. Because I'm just me.
What about yourself, Sarah? Did your relationships change when, having gone from, you know, short hair and short fingernails to marry to a man with luscious locks?
Definitely I felt, like, a shift in, like, people's perceptions change. It's like, oh, like, she settled down. She was, like, queer until graduation kind of thing, right? And so I feel like a lot of people have, like, just decided for me that I'm no longer queer.
You're no longer other.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably the equivalent to what I was experiencing, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a lot of people just were like, whatever, she was queer until graduation, but, you know, now she has a nice, normal, straight, white picket fence life kind of thing.
Oh, my God. Do you have a white picket fence?
No, I live in an apartment. But okay. If I did have a house, I would hope for a white picket fence.
Actually, you know, it's a nightmare to maintain with the paint.
Yes.
For me,
hedgerows. But then you have to trim the hedges. But you should do that anyway, yeah. FYI.
Yeah. Or you could just paint a picket fence on your wall and do it that way.
I feel like we've marginally digressed.
Oh, come on. I'm mostly gay. We paint wonderful, fabulous things.
We do. Yeah. We do as a...
with, you know, our imaginations, if nothing else.
As an entirely stereotypical collection of folks, that is exactly what we do. I think there are certainly, and maybe you folks can't really speak to this, but I think there are very interesting challenges posed when we look at trans folks in relationships and how that kind of interacts. We had one individual message us in our correspondence on this, and I'm going to try and find it so I can kind of pull from that and share the story that was shared with me. Of course, you know, when you want things to load, they don't load. Well, that's very disappointing. So I will get to that. Now, you've had some experience with what many would consider straight men.
Yes.
Or who lead very much straight male lives.
Men who have sex with men but do not identify as gay. Yes.
Absolutely. You know, would they fall? Are they actually, like, inadvertent bisexuals? Are they pansexuals but don't have the words, or like what are we talking about here?
The spectrum is really broad. If you approach most guys in a certain way, I suppose most of us are going to be more receptive to sex regardless. It's situational. but in terms of they're falling into inadvertent gayness, I don't think so. They're either going to be more open to a possibility or less open to a possibility. Mm-hmm. Some are completely surprised and shocked that they can be turned on by a guy.
I also think it's dangerous to start identifying other people, because that's exactly what people are doing to us.
Yes.
And yeah. We don't like it, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
Which is why I accept that most people are on the spectrum, and whether they're comfortable with initiating things or not is another story. It's up to them.
Now, this is an interesting question that brings up... We were going to do a whole episode on this, and we kind of scrapped it. But the interesting thing where, you know, most people have long since argued that we are born... gay, and I think there is, or born straight, or born bi.
Born this way?
Absolutely. The born this way argument has given the gay rights movement a lot of momentum, and and there is certainly elements that do support that theory. It's not like we all came together and said, okay, let's pick a one-liner that we can use for gay rights. No, that wasn't it. It has some scientific proof. But now there's an emerging conversation about, are we actually really born this way, or is it, you know, contextual? And, you know, most people, you mentioned, you know, somewhere on the scale. Well, that was the Kinsey scale that was done in the 1950s. And it actually measured experiences from, I think it was like 3,000 people involved in the study. And it was their experiences with sexuality as opposed to, you know, self-identification.
Right.
So that one time in band camp would mean that you're like a 1.5 on the scale, whereas, you know,
right.
I can't remember if it's 1 is straight or 6 is straight. I always get them mixed up.
It doesn't really matter.
Anyway,
the
whatever.
Two extremes
Point
are roughly
being,
the same, a percentage of the population, and everybody else is somewhere in the middle.
This idea is from the 50s, and the idea of being born gay is a very old idea, and I think we're getting more of a developed understanding. And one of the more... prominent thoughts that's emerging is the idea that it's relative. So your sexuality kind of depends on where you are, both physically. Like if you're in a prison of all male prisoners, the odds of you engaging in same-sex act behavior kind of goes up. And likewise, if
or,
you're
you know,
an all-female,
all-boys
right? school or female
or,
school,
yeah,
if you're surrounded by solely one sex, you know, contextually, and this has been proven that the odds do kind of creep up a little bit.
Let's face it, hormones will rage.
Yeah, and, you know, lack of options, but also it kind of changes. You're not the same sexual being when you're with your mother than when you're with your partner. You know,
no,
your sexual identity changes. And I think it's interesting that if folks kind of grasp that fundamental idea that who you are attracted to depends not only on you, but also kind of where you are, who you're around... you know, I think bisexuality becomes a lot more easier for folks to comprehend the idea that, you know, you might be bi and then gay and then straight and then bi or just bi the whole way through. You know, it
well,
changes.
As long
and
as
develops.
There's a stigma attached to being gay or bi, there are going to be people who have problems identifying.
Like coming out of the closet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or just admitting to themselves. Because that stigma is so so based in fear of rejection,
mm-hmm.
That's probably why, and now squirreling it back to bi erasure, that's probably why it's so much easier to just assume that everybody is one or the other, straight or not straight.
Have you heard of this theory of kind of like a contextual sexuality?
Not, well, I guess it makes sense. I don't think I've heard of it prior to this conversation. But I can't see, like, I necessarily disagree with it. Because, like, there are definitely times where, like, I'm, like, around my grandma and stuff, and I just kind of, like, you know, forget about the side of me that has, like, fun, kinky sex with, like, lots of people.
Because it's not relevant to your experience with grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but... I lost my train of thought.
No worries. I think one of the things that we've been most getting from folks who have been reaching out to us is that the biggest concern I think we've seen is actually bi erasure in queer spaces. Now we mentioned this a little bit, kind of like, and there's a common thread. Lots of people have told me, you know, oh, I'm pan, but I live with a man and I'm a man, so everybody just assumes I am a gay man. And that identity is kind of minimalized and irrelevant. And now I have to live like a gay man because that is what everybody thinks I am. You know, this is, you're laughing over there.
Yes, I am laughing.
And I'm just recapping, you know, five or six stories that were sent to us, you know, of everybody saying the same thing. Is it a serious issue in the gay community or in the queer community of just kind of washing away the details of someone's life like that?
Like anything else, it's an issue if you're uncomfortable with it yourself. It doesn't bother me if people assume one thing or another, because it's none of my business what other people think of me. It's just my business how I react and how I act with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not under any stress about it at all. So maybe I'm guilty of bi erasure myself. I don't care, because that's not my experience.
Well, we don't want to support and enforce bi erasure. That's not what
that's
not what this show is about.
I know, but what I'm saying is, if somebody's going to be upset about it, it says more about their level of security with themselves.
I disagree. I think that we can certainly be more welcoming. I think queer spaces need to be. I mean, but there's often, for example, we've talked at length about straight people being tourists in gay bars. Now, for the folks listening, you know, if you're having a hen party or a what's the Canadian term for
bachelorette?
That?
Bachelorette
party.
Yeah.
And you all go to a gay bar because they're so fun, then that space, which is usually reserved by, you know, for that community, becomes awash with bachelorettes having just a hoot
with way too much perfume. 16 women with 16 different perfumes. Ugh.
It's. But the point is, you know, what our reaction to that, going like, oh my gosh, women taking over this space, what that means is that, you know, women who are bi but in a straight relationship feel excluded, feel pushed out the door, feel, you know, that this is not a space for them. And I think that is one of the concerns that's come up, is that how the gay community is treating straight folks and bi folks is meaning that, you know, we're ignoring their queerness. You're not queer enough for us in this space. Come back with a lesbian and then you're allowed in.
Well, often people will go into an environment like a gay bar in a larger group of people, and that means they become seen as a conglomerate.
Mm-hmm.
If they come in by themselves or with one other person, they're going to find they're accepted more easily because they don't take up volumes of space.
Now, have you had any experiences along those lines?
I definitely have. So a while ago I went to the Lookout with a couple of friends, and so I was there with my then fiance and one other girl who was looking to, she was like, I want to experiment with my sexuality, meet some cool girls. So we went out on ladies night, and of course it's still mostly guys because whatever. But then me and her were dancing, and a lot of people perceived us as the couple and my husband or then fiance as the single gay guy out on the search.
Right, I can see that.
Yeah, so it's it's definitely like, they were like, oh, like he brought his like two queer friends to hang out and dance and whatever, but like also is like looking for someone by himself because they assumed that I was with my friend and not with my husband, because I guess it's not a place for heterosexuals, right? So I guess it kind of erased our heterosexual relationship and replaced it with a homosexual relationship with one of my friends. Anyways, it was like a very confusing night for a lot of guys who wanted to get with my husband that night.
I have a similar story. A friend of mine from high school that I hadn't seen in, you know, 25 years. She was in town. We got together. She said, well, where do you want to go out? And I said, well, we can go to the market. And eventually we made it to the market. We did the touristy thing in the market for a while. And, well, where do you want to go for a beer? Let's go to the Lookout. She goes, what's that? I said, it's an alternative lifestyle establishment. And it was a Friday after work. And so, you know, it was going to be a mixed crowd there
drag
anyway.
Drag queens, isn't it? Oh, that's a Saturday.
Yeah. We went and we had a good time, and then the night went on toward evening, and more women were showing up, and the DJ showed up, and then the music started getting louder and all the regular stuff that goes on there on a Friday night. And she and I are just having this great conversation, and then we decide we want to continue talking, but the music's too loud, so we'll go somewhere else. And as we're packing up, this one... I guess you can call her a bulldog lesbian, snarled out, "Oh good, the Hets are leaving." And I turned to her and I snarled right back, "I'm a fag."
I like how you bleeped the F word, but not the other one. My apologies to our listeners
But I am, and I identify as a fag at times. So
even so, some folks do find it offensive. And
yes, they do. People find queer offensive.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Pretty sure that's not on the list of things that we're not allowed to say,
right,
though. But
in the 70s, it was. It was one of those things. It was a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I snarled at this woman, and then we went out to another place where we could finish our conversation. But yeah, the erasure goes on, and the assumptions go on by everybody.
I think it's interesting because I think in queer spaces, there's been such a long battle for those spaces that any incursion is seen as
an onslaught.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And for folks listening, they're probably thinking, "Oh, this is crazy." But no, I mean, you know, the bathhouse raids was, you know, shutting down bathhouses. You know, the police would raid and shut down gay bars. Under the guise of public health reasons, but there is a very, very long history of gay spaces being shut down. So the idea of being a bit defensive of these spaces is completely understandable. But I think that what we do in being aggressively defensive, such as this, how you describe bulldog lesbian, is that what we do then is... we do to bys exactly what we dislike being done to us.
Right.
Which is being ignored, having our identities assumed, and being marginalized and kind of eradicated, which is very unfair and very unacceptable. And I sincerely hope that folks would not do that. Earlier I mentioned a story of a trans individual that I'm aware of, and it was shared with me. But what's really interesting about this story... is that it related to the portrayal of gender and sexuality being combined. So they were in what appeared to be a same-sex relationship, but then was told, you know, don't be with other men after the fact because it would make the partner look gay, I think. It's hard to track the gender...
I've
continuum
got confused,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they appear as opposite sex relationships, but if the individual I'm speaking of went to see a man after that, it would make the previous relationship look like the other person was actually gay. I don't know. I got confused. But the point is, it's really interesting that people kind of have that dictating, you know, there's a fear almost of coming across as possibly queer even now, and it's impacting other folks' lives. You know, if you are in what appears to be same-sex relationship, well, you know, defriend all of my family and my friends so that when you go do your queer thing, it doesn't look bad on me, you know?
I followed it this time. I got it.
Have you had that? Have you had folks being like, you know, when you're with me and you're straight, that's cool. Maybe when you were married and yourself, maybe so much now, but when you're doing all of your crazy queer stuff, go do it, you know.
Well, it's something I keep on the DL, on the down low, because not like some of the people I engage in sexual relationships with, like, they don't want it out there that, you know, they're seeing more than one person or that they're engaging in queer sex at all. So generally, to make more people comfortable, and even myself, I guess, in public spaces, we keep it on the down low that we engage in, like, group sex or queer sex because it makes things easier and more comfortable for most people.
Yeah, people feel more comfortable with what they know, and everybody knows, you know, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, plus Jane, plus John, and maybe Susan. You know, it's much easier to kind of stick to what you know. And I mean, and that's, it's unfortunate that you've had to minimize. Has it come up? Like, people are probably thinking, like, where on earth would that come up in conversation? Has it come up where you've actually actively had to censor yourself?
Yes. Yes. It is. It's come up in conversations where someone will be like, oh, like, you're with such and such. And I'm like, yeah, I'm with this person, yes. And but excluding all of these other people. Or, like, I'm, like, some of my friends know that, like, I do these things and they'll text me and they'll be like, I'm having a conversation with someone. Is it okay if I let them know this thing? Because they're curious about how polyamorous relationships work. And I'll be like, yeah, that's fine. Tell your friend how things work with us. Like,
actually, and it boils down primarily, I assume, to communication.
Always.
Now, 100%. I think you look like you wanted to jump in on that as well.
Yes and no. I have experience with people who run into the issue more than I do. Mm-hmm. For instance, I was getting along rather well with this really hot trans guy who needed to express to his girlfriend that he was more interested in exploring this side of his personality, but she wasn't willing, ready, whatever, to entertain the ideas. So the changing of how you relate to people in public for other people's benefit is probably something all of us do instinctually in every aspect. Like, I'm a personal trainer, but do I talk about personal training when I go out to everybody else's place? Not really. Sometimes I let other people blather on because they're obviously the expert. And it's just easier than having a confrontation. So you just let people do their thing and...
To you. What words of wisdom would you give to folks in the general community about, you know, how not to buy a raise? And we're talking about the general heterosexual community. And if you're listening thinking, am I in this community? If you're not in the gay community, then you're kind of in the other one. They're like, there is, that's,
yeah,
that's pretty much how it goes. You know, what advice would you give to the general community?
I would say that generally making assumptions makes a butt out of you and me, but with a different word instead of butt.
Yeah. Okay,
take
I see.
The word assume.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, I've heard that, but it doesn't sound like that. How does that go again?
Because there's a swear word and I was censoring things.
Okay. Which is indicative of our entire conversation, absolutely.
It makes
what about
a
yourself?
Donkey. To assume makes a donkey out of you and me.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank
that
you.
Also works.
That works really well.
Yeah. If somebody makes a comment, then sometimes we have to make another comment like, are you really sure that you would find them as attracted to you as you are to them?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's interesting coming from, you know, a very gay perspective, you know, with myself. You know, I have bio-raised my own partner at one point and gone through all of, not currently, you got hopeful then for a second, but no, you know, in the past when I was naive and young and foolish.
Less wise.
But, you know, I have gone through this myself and done the things that I'm trying to hope that we have portrayed is not the best idea. Like, assuming that, you know, if you're dating somebody bi, that they're more flighty, that they're more, you know, prone to maybe misbehavior. That's, you know, it is perhaps unhelpful to fighting stereotypes that, you know, bisexuals are more difficult to pin down in terms of in a monogamous relationship in the conversation with two polyamorous people, but...
Okay, well, first of all, I may be polyamorous, but it's never an assumption I make that going into a relationship, I'm going to be polyamorous. Mm-hmm. It's a conversation that I have with that partner, and I'm like, this is something I've done in the past, it's something I like doing, would it be something you're open to? So I haven't always been... like purely polyamorous. It is a conversation that I have with most of my partners, and it does play a role into whether or not things work out, because that is something I enjoy, but they aren't like tied together. They are like they're mutually, well, like they are mutually exclusively.
Yeah. So, so in fact, you know, the stereotype that, you know, bi people are more, you know, prone to misbehavior, I think I might say, you know, indiscretions, is not true. It's not true. I think it...
I don't think so.
No,
because
it isn't. It's only if you repress that there's an equal and opposite reaction that is going to lead you to do things that others might think are more flaky or
mm-hmm. Like, if any one of my partners was ever, like, not okay with the way our relationship was, then, like, we would address that and change based on what is needed kind of thing. It's once again, communication.
I like it. I'm pretty sure it's going to be our new buzzword for the show. My point being that, you know, I've learned, you know, that, you know, I held these stereotypes of bi people, and I have made assumptions. And what really amazed me when I put this bi erasure call out was how many people responded that I thought were, like, just straight up lesbians or straight up homos. And I'm like, oh, wow, you also like opposite sex relations. I'm like, that is something cool I did not know before. So even within our community and myself, I have assumed that that the folks I'm meeting are either gay or straight.
You have much to learn.
I do have much to learn. Are you, if you'd have finished our sentence with young Padawan, I think I might have kicked you in the shade. I think it was heading that you have much to learn.
I self-censored.
You did. Yeah. List the words you're not allowed to say. I'm going to add young Padawan to that list. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to have these important conversations still happening. We need all of your support. Dial and donate 613-520-3920 or toll free at 1-877-520-3920. Next week, we have interviews with three MPs, which is all of half of the entirely openly gay collection of MPs. We are talking about why there are not more of them. In 2004, 24 people ran for office. And then recently in 2015, only 20 people ran for office who were openly gay. So what's the barrier? Interesting conversation with Randy Bossineau, Sherry Benson, and Randall Garrison, all of their MPs. We have that for you lined up next week. Should be an interesting show. Thank you so much for my guests, Michael and Sarah and Chanel, who was on the line. And we'll be back next week. But to play us out is Tanya Tagak, the new song Center featuring Shad. And I play these two songs because they've worked together, Buffy St. Maurice and Tanya.
I love both of these songs.
I know, they're phenomenal. Yeah. And I'm really excited to see what they come out with as a joint initiative. And thank you very much. That's all for now.
Center of the dot and disperse. Rubber like circles that abound from a dot, from a drop to the circles that surround it. In the water make waves and we drown it. Waves of sound that we bathe in, then wash up on this ground and round it. We all stand on, but we all stand for the process that we hang on. Hang on, hang on, hang on like dot, dot, dot. It's like a rock dropped in the water submerged, but first reverberates like words that make circle shapes. Circles like records that revolve with grooves that rest and unrest and then resolve when they drop. Little dots like drops of sand from a clock spanning across the canyon, across plots of land like clocks. All we got's is hands to bang together these plots and plans and pots and pans and drop some slang from the dot, 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 back to the top. The center of the earth, entering the entrance of a birth. Remember to remember is to enter in reverse. To the center of the center of the center of the dot and disperse. With dust in the wind, to with dust in the earth. The universe of the dot at the center of the person. The circle never stops from the first rock drop to forever like dot, 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 dot. From the dot, 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 back to the top. Hey!
the center of the earth. Entering the entrance of a birth. Remember to remember is to enter in reverse. To the center of the dot and disperse. The dust in the wind to a dust in the earth. The universe is dot at the center of the person. The circle never stops from the first rock drops. I'm forever like dot, 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 dot.